In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Our first reading tonight is from the prophet Jeremiah. And Jeremiah is speaking from prison. And that's not really too surprising because prophets, well, their job is to comfort those who are poor, those who are lonely, those who are oppressed. And a prophet's job is to speak truth to those who have power, to those who are responsible for changing how things are in the world. And those with power don't like hearing words like that, words of prophecy. Prophecy is always political. So Jeremiah, the prophet, is imprisoned. Now, what Jeremiah got in trouble for was for looking around at the world and noticing what was happening and just telling it like it is. Babylon, the great nation of the East, had come and was attacking Jerusalem. Judah was at war. Right, think of Ukraine being attacked by Russia. And Jeremiah looked up and said, "We're going to lose this battle. There's no way we can win." And this wasn't a popular sentiment, right? The king called that treason. And the military leaders accused him of destroying morale. But Jeremiah was pointing out how in the past, Judah had depended upon God to save them. But it had been a long time since Judah had drawn close to God. And so why would Judah expect God to draw close to them at this moment? And so here in prison, as Jeremiah waits for the inevitable, God speaks to Jeremiah once more. And you have to wonder how Jeremiah felt about that. Did he groan like, "Oh, I'm already in trouble. Not another one." But God instructs Jeremiah to buy a field. Now, often we think of real estate as a pretty good investment, right? However, I wonder, would you buy a field in the Donetsk or Luhansk region of Ukraine right now? Right? Where the bombs are falling, where no one's sure who's going to be in charge a year from now. Is this the time to invest in real estate there? That's what Jeremiah is doing. He has prophesied the fall of Judea, and yet he is buying property there at just the moment when everyone else is trying to sell their possessions, right? To gather money to sew into the linings of their suitcases, portable property to take with them because they know that Babylon is about to deport them, and they will be refugees. And yet, Jeremiah spends his precious cash to buy this field in a time when fields are worthless. This purchase speaks to Jeremiah's faith, right? That God, in the end, God will be victorious. There will be war, there will be deporting, there will be exile. But Jeremiah can look through all of that and see that on the other side, God's will be done. And so Jeremiah acts in faith. And Jeremiah puts his money where his mouth is. Now, I was amused in reviewing this week's lessons because all three of them, you may have noticed, are about money. And I was amused because next week is when we will begin our stewardship season here at St. Thomas. And so we'll talk about money for a few weeks. But the scriptures this week are about money as well. The Bible talks a lot about money. Right? From nearly the beginning to the end, the Bible talks about money. And I think that only makes sense because we talk a lot about money. Right, at church, we talk about money in vestry, that's true. But we talk about money in our families and in our relationships. Right around the dinner table at my house these days, we talk about colleges and college expenses, senior trips. When we're in the car going along, we talk about whether we should get gas at this station or that station or wait until tomorrow because what are gas prices doing? Right? Money is just a part of conversation. It's something we talk about. And money is something that we all relate to. And we all have related to for thousands of years. Right? It's something that we hold in common. It has deep and broad and universal meaning. We live our lives seeking certain goods, things like security and safety, things like power, or at least contentment. And oftentimes we feel like we could put price tags on those things, right? If I just had enough in my bank, then I could know it was going to be okay. And yet, the promise of God is deeper than that. Right? The promise of God transcends that. We're told that we are partakers of a heavenly treasure. And even the richest person on earth cannot, in all their wealth, begin to approach that heavenly treasure that is promised to each one of us. And so the Bible continues to challenge us about where we put our focus, where we lay our eyes. Right? And so we make choices about what it is we value, what it is we hold on to, what it is that we pay attention to and nurture and care for and don't let go of. And those choices, they shape us. And so when we talk about stewardship and we talk about giving money, we're not talking necessarily, or we're not talking primarily about giving for the sake of the parish. Right? We're talking about giving for the sake of our souls. We're talking about giving so that we can exercise faith, when faith means taking a chance on what is unseen, a promise still, and letting go of some of the things, the shiny objects we're holding on to in the meantime. So as Christians, we believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is the only sovereign, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. These are titles, by the way, that the King of Babylon used for himself. And so the Judahites were very rebellious in saying, no, there's one other. That's the King of Kings. That's the Lord of Lords. And because of that, we believe that whether we are rich or we are poor in this current age is not so important in and of itself. That it is enough if we have food to eat and clothes to wear. Because it is our attitude, it is our practice around riches that prepares us to be able to let go of what we have gathered for ourselves at this time, and therefore to be ready to receive what God has promised in the age to come. And so in our second lesson, Paul encourages Timothy to encourage the church to do what the church does, which is to work at preparing ourselves to receive from God what God has promised. We too today, St. Thomas, we too are recipients of God's promises. Christ Jesus died and rose again in order to include us in those promises of God to God's people. We worship a God who declares God's almighty power chiefly in showing mercy and pity. And so, as we move into October and we practice our stewardship month, stewardship is not primarily about maintaining an institution or gathering dollars, even though this is a very good institution and well worth maintaining. But God has no money problems. Right? The psalmist tells us that God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And so we practice stewardship because we do have money problems. We have problems putting it in its place and letting go of it at the right times. Learning to open our hands and our hearts to receive God's grace, because that is the sure investment. We are called, our calling today is not to buy fields in Ukraine, but to store up a sure promise of treasure in heaven. Amen.